That was Pripyat with Kiev Burns, now here on Hellfire Radio. And you already noticed that I switched to English, and that is because I have a lovely guest. Hi, Catherine. Nice that you're here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. So you are doing this nifty little big great riot girl punk band called No Bro over there in Canada. Can you tell us a little bit about how that sprung into existence? Because I heard that there might be a great story behind that involving one of your ex-boyfriends, and I'm a little bit curious what happened there.
Yeah, there's some folklore. But yeah, the band came about because when one door closes, one window opens kind of situation. So yeah, I was with a guy, and we had a band, and that band broke up, and then he went off to do other things, and I just really wanted to prove to myself and to other people that I could be more than just like a bass player in the band, you know, or like a girlfriend of the guy who plays guitar. So that's kind of how it happened.
I get that. And then you said, if I do it, I will do it right, and I will do it girls only. No bros in that band.
Yeah, totally.
That's great, actually. We need more women power in this music. All right. So you gathered some people, you gathered some folks back in 2016, and you started a band. And since then, you are releasing EPs. Is there no desire to do a long player, or is the EP the new LP? What is going on?
No, we have plans. We have plans, long-term plans for a full length this year. When we started talking to Dynalone, our record label, we came when we were figuring out like what kind of contract we were going to have. It just worked itself out that way, like a couple EPs and then a full length. And it was actually a kind of a nice way to do it, because we really wanted to have like, you know, two separate bodies of work, but have consistency running through both of them. So, and we're actually releasing both those EPs on one vinyl.
Oh, that's great. That's cool.
I didn't know
that. That's why I'm here, to ask questions that I don't know the answers to. So, and now, 2 days ago, your new EP, Live Your Truth, Shred Some Gnar, was released worldwide. How is the feeling? How are you experiencing the situation right now with the new EP?
I mean, people are into it, which is cool. We had so much fun making it, so we're just so happy that other people are into it as well, just because it's just like a good time.
It is. It definitely is. I think it's a great piece of music. What does the title mean to you? I mean, is of course a reference to skating and skate punk, probably. But why did you felt the desire to live your truth?
I think it's just like a joke that I think we've all been saying. You know, it's just like when you work day in, day out, your feet are tired, and for some reason you're like going to these shitty shows and getting paid nothing, and you're so exhausted, but you just have no choice, because you're just living your truth, you know. It's kind of like, why are we here? Because we have to be doing this.
I see. And your first single and also the first song on the EP is called Better Each Day.
Yeah.
It's a great song. We will listen to it in a second. But I have to ask you, why the F? I can swear on here. Why the fuck is there a gospel choir part in the beginning of that song?
It was the gospel part of the song was meant as like a palate cleanser. You know, just like if you could just imagine someone sitting in their car, stuck in traffic on the way home from work. And then the song comes on, and it's like, I spent my whole life right here. You know what I mean? It's like, take me home. Take me home.
And then you punch them in the face, musically.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the spirit of No Bro? Say, like, just...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, to the point. It's very tongue-in-cheek. We love just playing fast, and we love shredding. Who doesn't love, like, I've always been a sucker for, like, big riffs and stuff like that. Like, ever since I was a kid, I loved stoner rock. Nice. And it's just fun to incorporate it into your music.
Awesome. Let's have a listen, folks out there. We will listen a little bit to Better Each Day by Nobro, the first single of their new EP, Live Your Truth. Shred some gnar. Enjoy it. That was Nobro with Better Each Day, the new song, new single and first song from their new wonderful EP called Live Your Truth, Shred Some Gnar. And in like the next 5 to 10 to 20 minutes, I will be able to say that name without looking at my sheet of paper next to me. So you have kind of a unique situation with your band, as you have a percussionist, and that is kind of unusual in a punk band, I think. How that came together? How did you say, yeah, we need a percussionist?
That was a total accident. It was a total accident. Like, our original guitar player left before one of our biggest shows to that date, and so we knew it was on. And she was just gonna, or Sarah, sorry, Sarah knew was on, and she was just gonna come in and play keyboards. And then she was like, I study Latin percussion, and she busted out her bongos at a at a practice. And then it was just like a game changer. She just started just shredding bongos over all of the songs, and it just was meant to be. It just felt like kismet at that moment.
I think that is like a little bit what your identity as a band is like, unusual and unexpected turns and combinations of things. I think that, as for example, in Bye Bye Baby, at the end of Bye Bye Baby, you have that really heavy shouting part with shredding guitars, and then you have this sweet melodic line underneath there. I felt really like, is this the essence of Nobro? Like, this is these combinations of, it's a little bit sweet, there's nice melodic, and then we punch you in the face with our shredding guitars.
I would say so. I mean, if you got to know all of us, we're very very open-minded, diverse people, and we love all different genres of music, and there's the world is, you know, sometimes such an inspiring place, and like, if it's good energy, and especially during the songwriting process, it's like, if it feels good, it doesn't matter if it's too pop or too hard or whatever. Like, if it just feels natural for us to do it, like, we'll just do it.
That seems to be a songwriting process. At one point, you even sat in the studio, did magic mushrooms, got all high, and then just record a song. How was that? Like, I was recording a song on magic mushrooms. I never did it. You have to tell me.
Well, we had to watch the time was of the essence, because we had to just get it down before the situation changed too much, and we were unable to really focus on our tasks. So yeah, we had to do like a few takes, and then, but it was really fun. It was like a challenge. It was like a really fun challenge.
That challenging part seems to be the very core of your band. Like, you're always challenging yourself to do even more, even better, even more weird things, maybe even too. That seems to be something you do a lot. Speaking about diversity and the scene and influences of music, how is punk rock, or is the music scene in the French part of Canada? Is there a big French music scene or something?
Yeah, there is. There's like an entire microcosm of bands and in an industry. It's kind of crazy. I mean, there's like Quebecois celebrities here that are huge. They're huge. They play sold out shows and they'll tour constantly. They make a living. It's kind of amazing. And it's very like, everyone kind of supports each other. It's a very there's a big community. There's a big friendly community.
That's great. That's great. Do you speak French, or someone in your band?
Oh, So the rest of the girls are Francophone. I am not Francophone. I'm actually from Alberta. My French is atrocious, but I do work in the service industry. So I'm kind of like barlingual, you know, like I take people's drink orders and I can give them their food and stuff like that. But so conversational, I'm not great.
The working French is there, but the more sophisticated stuff has to wait.
Survival French.
Will you ever translate that into a song or something? Are there plans to do a song in French?
Well, Bye Bye Baby is actually in French. Caro, the guitar player, sings it, and the verses are in French.
That's embarrassing. I should have listened more carefully.
But you know what's funny is that I've actually heard that comment before. People didn't realize it was in French. And we had this debate within the band of putting out a French single. And I think that, you know, for just what I understand, like, it's really hard for Quebecois, especially when they sing in French, it's really hard for them to break out of Quebec. And I'm like, you know, I listen to like a lot of different music that and words I don't even understand and languages I can't even understand. I'm like, if it's a good song, it's a good song. And I feel like when Caro decided to, you know, sing the song and play the song, like we really believe that if it was just a good song, language wouldn't matter. And it's really nice to see that.
I think so.
Like our instincts were there. Yeah,
there are a lot of songs from different genres that are in languages that are not common or not English, that are wildly popular. I was talking about, I don't know if you know Stromae, Les Andances. It's this party disco song that is in French and everybody loves it, even here in Germany.
Yeah. So
that is a thing, definitely. You want to be known and you want to be famous not only in the French part of Canada. So you're going on tour not only with Fiddler but also with Pop, who I really, really like. Do you have any dreams or someone in your head where you would say, I would love to tour with that band? Who would that be?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. And honestly, like, I can tell you right now, just for everyone listening, I'm sitting in the basement of my job, and any band that would want to take us on tour right now would be better than this situation. So anything right now would be a dream.
That's great. That is the best baseline, I think, for everything to come. When you are on tour, I ask myself that because Canada is known as a, in most parts, progressive country. How is the situation for a female band in Canada? How far is feminism in the Canadian music scene?
It's coming. It's, you know, like my mom's Indonesian, and like I'm just so grateful that to like be here. And you know, growing up in our household, like I got to play hockey, you know, I got to cut my hair short. I got to do all these different things that really challenged like the norms of identity and gender growing up. And I feel like I've met so many like-minded people on the same journey. So I would say right now, like, and even it's just like growing, like more women are playing music. Different kinds of people are playing music. Like, it's just kind of branching out, especially rock music.
That's so great. Completely different question from a completely different part of the interview. Who's Julia?
Oh, I'm just not going to comment on that.
All right. No answer is an answer as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Most definitely. All right. You wrote a song that's also really cool, and you just released a music video for that. It's called Eat, Slay, Chardonnay. What is the story behind that?
So Sarah, our drummer, she invited me and Lazan to go to her mom's house, and her mom is Mexican and loves wearing like caftans, you know, those like big, flowy, with like the hair and sunglasses, and she's like making cocktails, and she's just like really just like this big character. And she was giving us just like Sunday drinks, and if you scroll through her Instagram, I think it's like from 2017, Sarah and Lizondo are actually drinking, and the caption is "Eat, Slay, Chardonnay, Suburban Mom Swag," and so that's kind of where the song came from.
I would say suburban mom slag would also be a good cover or title for a song or for an EP or something. You should maybe consider that for the next LP or something.
Yeah.
That would be funny as well. All right, so I would say we have a listen to exactly this song right now, Eat Slay Chardonnay by Nobro, and then we are back in just like a short time, because that's not a long song.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hellfire Radio. My name is Tom Hellfire, and with me right now is Catherine McCaffey from Nobro, who you just listened to with their great song Eat, Slay, Chardonnay. And Catherine is with me right now. And that means that I get to ask her some questions. For example, if your album is called... At least in a half part. I can't pronounce the title without looking it up.
Okay.
But I know that there is something in there with like shredding some gnar. Do you skate or do you do snowboard or something in Canada?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, like, yeah, snowboarding, because it's so cold. It's winter half the year, so you need to do something. And skateboarding, yeah, I did it when I was a teenager, and sometimes pick up the old skateboard and try an ollie from time to time.
Nice. So did you listen to all those skate punk bands when you grew up, like NoFX, Sum 41, Green Day?
Yeah.
That was a thing. That's great. I wish I would have been alive in those times. I'm almost a millennium child.
Okay.
I'm from 99, so I just missed, like, by 10 years or something, I missed the great skate punk revival. So,
yeah, the Vans Warped Tour. Oh my gosh.
Yes, exactly. And yeah. I missed that. And I can't forgive my parents for not getting pregnant when they were 20 or something. No, it's fine.
No,
it's completely fine. All right. I have a question. It's a little bit political because something that was all over the news in the last month concerning Canada was the Ottawa blockade with all the trucks. How did you experience that?
Well, I didn't. Personally, it didn't come into my sphere. But emotionally, I mean, it was like a little upsetting to see some of the rhetoric from the U.S. spill over into Canada, especially with the terms like, you know, freedom is being oppressed. And there was like an undercurrent of really right wing, like racist stuff going on. So that was kind of that was very unlike Canada. It's not
yeah,
very common here. But I mean, honestly, like, so my mom, she's Indonesian and her family's over there, and they don't have access to like Pfizer. I think they have Moderna or AstraZeneca, sorry. They don't have Moderna and some of the Chinese vaccines, which have like the 50% efficacy rate. And like, I walked in downtown Montreal, I sashayed into the building and they gave me my shot. I didn't have to bribe someone. I didn't have to fight someone. Like, I just got a vaccine. I can go back into public. I can serve people. And so, I don't know. It's really mind blowing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's crazy that people don't get what privilege they have, what privileged situation they are in. That's crazy, actually. Yeah. How do you react to something like that as a band? Would you describe yourself, your band, as a political band?
We are. I mean, we're very like socially aware and conscious of like the current events and especially the world that we live in. You know, I think it's really important as like a citizen of the world to keep up on the news and to always have things in perspective. And I mean, we are. Like, we have so much fun playing music, and we really hope to set like the tone of who we are through that. But yeah, I say like in our personal lives, we're super political. Like we're always just trying to make things better. We're always trying to like, I don't know, like just have more equality. Like just, it just is so mind blowing that like, I don't know. It's like political to be political. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I would say, yes, we are. Like on one hand, we are, even if we don't say it like directly in the music.
Do you think it's expected from you? Maybe that is the problem. Maybe do you think it often is expected from all girl bands to be automatically political because of that condition? And even if you don't want to be?
I think there's like a part of the moment that we live in right now that forces us to have that kind of introspection about politics. I think that's kind of unavoidable for every single person, from like, you know, the biggest celebrity person to the people at the bar upstairs. Like everyone is experiencing it on this, like, really, like, you have to go in and just look at like your values and your morals and where your compass is pointing. So I do think on one hand, like, I don't know if it's so much a girl thing as more of just like the moment that we're in.
I see. And I think it's important to look within and reflect on yourself. To get to a little more lighthearted note at the end of this interview, if, and I hope it will, the corona situation lifts itself a little bit, you are going to get on tour this summer, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Who are you going with?
We're going with Rise Against and Billy Talent.
And are you excited?
We're super excited. Yeah.
That's great. It's really, really cool because Billy Talent is one of the bands that got me into rock music when I was a teenager. So that's really exciting. And like Rise Against is right beneath you guys, the number one band on my list of bands that I still want to see. So that's a really, really cool lineup. That's really cool. But when are you coming to Germany? If you like stoner rock, we have Freak Valley here. It's a great stoner rock festival in North Rhine-Westphalia. Yeah. So when are you playing Germany?
I mean, I hope soon. I hope soon. My gosh. Anything right now. I would say it's going to be in this next year for sure.
That's great. I'm counting on it. I see you live. All right. Is there anything else that you want to say before we wrap up this interview?
Thank you so much, Germany. I've never been, but I want to go.